It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of the afternoon show is sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices, or visit them today at northeastmenshealth.com.
But the Celtics wrap up a road trip with a 30-point victory in Atlanta. A 7-1 start for the reigning champs.
I don't know, I'm just off to a good rhythm. Just trying to start the game off more aggressive. You know, earlier years I've been more relaxed or, you know, eating my way into the game and, you know, trying to change that a little bit.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Jason Tatum, 28 points last night, 26 in the first half as the Celtics blow out the Atlanta Hawks. By the way, you can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. We'll get into the Celtics here in just a second. We have some breaking Celtics news, actually. Actually, you know what? Let's hit the breaking news sounder. This is fresh news right here. Hit it, Stiz.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, it's out there right now. Jaylen Brown going to have to put the revenge tour on hold, at least for this first game here. They will play the Warriors again later on in the season. Jaylen Brown, though, is going to be out tomorrow night as he continues to recover from that left hip flexor strain. I didn't think that this was like a big deal injury.
You're starting to feel that way?
I'm starting to feel that way. If he's sitting out of this game, you know he wants to play in this game. Jason Tatum is mad that he got benched. Jaylen Brown didn't make the team.
Right.
You know Jaylen Brown wants to be playing in this game. Which actually, now that I think about it, Jason Tatum was more under the purview of Steve Kerr and like what he wanted.
I'd say Jaylen Brown probably doesn't have a beef with Steve Kerr.
Maybe not as much, but I think Steve Kerr did have something to do with the selection process. It was more, I agree, like Grant Hill. Whoever else is involved there at that level. Coach K, is he still involved, I think? Does he still have something to do with NBA basketball? Maybe he doesn't, but it was definitely Grant Hill. And I think Kerr was part of the decision-making process, but he was the direct decision-maker when it comes to Tatum. So maybe that's still a little bit more of a fresh wound. But either way, Jaylen Brown with this hip flexor now has missed a couple games already, is going to miss tomorrow night's game against the Warriors, which, you know, he had it circled. You know, the whole team had this one circled. This was a big-time, important game for this team, for this whole group. And for Brown to miss it makes me think this is a more serious injury than previously thought.
So, impromptu spin zone here. I don't know if you want the sounder or not, but I'm going to spin this positive. I think the potential was there for this to be two guys trying to prove too much against the Warriors in front of Steve Kerr. Jaylen Brown being out, and you know I love Jaylen Brown.
You do.
Maybe a good thing, because now it just kind of, the runway is there for you, Jason Tatum. This is your game. We don't have to worry about who's going one-on-one, who's scoring, who's getting more shots, Brown or Tatum. This is Tatum's prove-it game. This is Tatum's send-a-message game. He's healthy. Go out there and do it, and maybe Jaylen Brown can have his the next time when he's healthy and ready to go. I think this is a sneaky positive for the Boston Celtics because there is no infighting for the opportunity here to stick it to somebody. I also agree with you. Kerr is more of a Tatum thing. Brown, I don't know. He wants to, like, take Phil Knight to the hoop and dunk on Phil Knight and Nike right. and everybody on the, in that world and Grant Hill, that whole thing.
And everyone who didn't like his song with ASAP Ferg
yeah.
and all, those other haters.
I actually think this is a good thing. Jason Tatum, I'm going to put Jason Tatum down for 39.5. You take the over or the under?
Under.
Under 39.5.
Under 39.5,
give me the over.
I think he'll crack 30, but I don't think he's cracking 40.
He's had trouble in second halves.
I know.
I've been waiting for somebody to say that, even though some of it's been misleading because they've been...
It's not really trouble. He just doesn't play in the fourth
right.
quarter because they're up by 30 points. It's not really trouble, but I know what you're saying. I don't know. I think that he might... He's going to take enough shots to get to 40 points, but I just think it's going to be... I think they're going to win the game easily, first of all. I think that they're going to kick Golden State's ass, and that it's going to be one of those situations where he's having a good game, 30, 35 maybe, something like that. I think that's probably where he'll top out. I'd like to see a vintage Jason Tatum, you know...
I think you're going to.
Kablooey kind of game. That'd be fun.
Like, but 12 points in the first quarter kind of game, 14
yeah.
points in the first quarter kind of game, and...
he had 26 cruise. In the first half and then 2 in the second half last night. But again, he didn't play the fourth quarter,
right.
so that's a big part of it. And that explosion that they had there in the second quarter was a big part of the reason why they ran away from Atlanta and never came back. And also, Atlanta sucks. But the point I want to make here is that they're doing this without Jaylen Brown. It's early in the year, and they're facing a slate of not great teams. Jason Tatum is also the league's leading scorer right
yep.
now in terms of total points.
Imagine if he played the fourth quarter.
Exactly. Like, if he was playing full games here, then he'd be probably up by a lot. And I don't know if they even started the Kia MVP ladder yet. I heard Scal talking about it in one of the highlights that we played. But if they put it out there right now, he's got to be, I'd say, top three, right? I mean, I think we're talking top three here. Jokic is averaging a triple-double again in 32 points, so he'll probably be number one. But right after that, I'd say you got Tatum probably pretty close by. Luka would be in there. Edwards, maybe, because Edwards has to do more that Karl Anthony Towns is out. You know, Giannis and those type of guys.
What's Donovan Mitchell doing?
Don Mitch, that's a good point. They're undefeated, and I think he's having a good season, although I'm not totally sure what his numbers are. He's averaging 23 a game, actually not even that great. Tatum right now is third in the league in points per game, or excuse me, fourth, behind Davis, Giannis, and Maxey. He's averaging 30 points, 7.5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and about a half a block per game, shooting 48% from the field and 36% from three-point range. Meanwhile, Nikola Jokic averaging just under 30 with 13 rebounds and 10.3 assists. So, I mean, it's going to be tough to overcome Mr. Triple-Double there over in Denver. But I do think that there is a rhythm to this. I do think that there's some politics involved, not like the
yep.
we're seeing tonight, but in terms of, all right, this guy's already won this many. This guy hasn't won one yet. Embiid just got an MVP 2 years ago for, I think, that exact reason. They figured it was his turn. Tatum just won a championship. He's in the mix. Like, you know, he's certainly in the top three. I think this could be, if he keeps at it and continues to put up these kind of numbers, I think that he's going to be right there on the inside track this year.
Yeah, I think it'd be stunning if he wasn't a top three or four candidate when the year comes to an end because of how good I think they're going to be. Now, he has to stay healthy. He can't be missing, you know, a couple weeks here, a couple mm-hmm. weeks there, whatever. Because you got to get, what, 65 games? Is that the...
Yes.
You got to play 65 games. But it will stun me if he's not one of the leading scorers on one of the leading teams and that right there. And then you mix in the fact he just won the championship. You mix in the fact that, quite honestly, he's going to talk about it because he already has. Others are going to be talking about it for him. He's going to be one of the talking points on a nightly basis. Whereas I almost like Jokic. What's the talking point with Jokic? Do you want to give it to him again? I feel like there's more reason to talk about Tatum and the MVP and chasing an MVP, coming off a title, chasing another title, than there is some of the other candidates. So I absolutely think he's going to be. And by the time he comes around, the other argument that he had last year for that short stint was the best player on the best team. Best player, best team. And if they're the best team by that point, I think he's got a decent shot.
Yeah.
I put money on it last year, and for like 2 weeks I felt good about it, and then I didn't.
On Tatum being a top three... Or being the MVP.
Winning the MVP.
Winning the MVP?
I felt good about it.
Like the odds aren't going to go up, so I mean, yeah. You might as well.
Might have to sprinkle.
Strike now. Yes, Brian?
Quick thing on the MVP, too. Recent trend the last 10 years, if you're not in the top six in PI, which is an advanced stat, which is player impact expectancy in the NBA, it basically is everything you do on the court combined into one.
Now, is this available in a chart form?
Oh, it is, yeah, NBA.com.
Everything
that would be a pie chart.
Ah!
It's quality.
Y'all just walked right into it.
There's the spoon. Nice one. Okay, so
its sister stat is a la mode.
According, okay. Let's,
should I stop?
Yeah, probably. Pie.
I was going to say, you should stop after the first. The first one was good.
Where's Jason Tatum on the pie chart?
So he's sixth this year. Pie. He's never been in the top 10 in his career. So a lot of the years when people say, well, why isn't Tatum in the MVP conversation at the end of the year? He's never finished in the top 10 in pie in the NBA at the end of the season. Right now, he's currently sixth.
I don't mean to reset this.
Go for it.
I was thinking about my dumb joke. What did you say pie meant again?
A player impact estimate. So it's basically everything to...
Defense included. It's a whole... It's a cumulative
thing. It's rebounds,
thing.
Assists, points. It's everything you could possibly do on the floor.
Okay.
Combined into some math equation.
All right. But from who? Well, from
the advanced
came
stats.
Up with it. Yeah, from next
so,
gen
So, for example, right? Jokic is number one this year. Giannis is number two. Anthony Davis is three.
Davis is having a big year.
Buddy Hield's four. He's actually been playing
Buddy
well.
Buddy Hield is four?
He's been playing well because Steph Curry's been out.
He's that playing team, better than Jason Tatum?
That team's 5-1. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
oh, now you don't like pie?
Five. And then Tatum, six.
Not if it says Buddy Hield's better than Jason.
But overall, you look at it, and for the most part at the top of the list, Jokic is usually there. Doncic is usually there. Antetokounmpo's usually there. Like, it is the better players in the league.
Well, it should be, I would hope. You guys want a quick story?
Yes.
When I was at Patriots Football Weekly, I tried to come up with one of these. I was going to make my own advanced analytic. It was basically going to be the version of passer rating, but for defensive players, and it was going to be defensive impact players. I had this whole chart. Bill even helped me with it. Like, I asked him some questions, what should be involved, blah, blah, blah. And I, like, ran the numbers, and J.J. Watt finished, like, 177th. So I ripped it up and threw it away and said, this is stupid if J.J. Watt's not good.
Buddy Hield is averaging 22 points a game.
You're really ticked off about Buddy Hield.
I'm just surprised that
hey, Homer, there's other good players in the NBA.
Yeah, but Buddy Hield isn't one of them. That's the point. Like, how is he?
Or
how is his pie so high?
Well, he has a 19.7 pie right now.
Maybe okay. You're sleeping on Buddy Hield.
I suppose. He is shooting the ball well. He's a good shooter.
Is he playing defense?
Is Jason Tatum playing defense?
I don't know. I thought pie was supposed to include defense.
It does include defense, but here's the thing. MVP isn't
Where's
really
Jaylen Brown
calculated with that. MVP is usually the three sexy big stats, points, rebounds, and assists, and then after that, it's like shooting percentage.
No, but
that's
so
usually what they do.
This is their version of
defense
war.
Defense doesn't matter.
Because war has become the biggest thing in baseball. Mm-hmm. I feel like pie, this is like trying to have a pie excuse, a pie reasoning for why you voted for somebody for MVP.
You're really enjoying saying pie
over and over again, aren't you? So where's Jaylen Brown been in pie in recent years?
Yeah, what's Brown's pie?
I am still scrolling. He's pretty low.
This is a stupid number.
I don't like this. Yeah, I don't like pie.
This is a dumbass analytical number.
But no player's won MVP and hasn't been in the top six in the last 10 years.
Okay.
And the lowest was six, Curry, and that was the year he won unanimous MVP.
Why has
and he won 73
time
games.
Out.
I didn't even know pie existed
right,
this long.
Right. Pie's been around for 10 years, and people are trying to tell me it's the most important stat in basketball, and yet I've never heard of pie until this
very day.
It's
been important when it comes to electing MVPs.
I've heard of war forever. War forever. I don't even like analytics, but I've heard of war. Right?
War forever. That's your campaign slogan.
War has mattered. You're telling me pie matters, except no one talks about pie.
Yes.
It's 2024. You have a decision to make. War versus pie. That's basically what you're voting for.
Gotta choose pie in that situation,
I gotta
right?
accept war because...
It's like cake or death. Remember that?
Right, no, exactly.
What was that guy's name? The comedian? There was a whole...
he tells whole me to move
thing.
On.
That's true, yes. Well, anyway.
He's trying to come up with a comedian.
Are up against the break here, and I can't remember the comedian's name. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. The trade deadline has come and gone. Week 9 in the NFL has come and gone. The league kind of sucks, and the trade deadline kind of sucked. For the Patriots, anyway. We'll get to all of that and a recap of the week that was here in Week 9, Monday Night Football, and everything else right after Stiz get you caught up on what's trending. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Hey, Nick Fitzy Arcand here. I don't like it. I don't know about you guys. 617-779.
Take the handoff. Wide open. Touchdown, Ryan Miller. Caliendo comes in. He's eligible. Here is Hunt for the touchdown. Kansas City remains unbeaten. 8-0. And a win in overtime. Take a look. Kareem Hunt got it rolling in this second half, and he put his head down and just drove his way into the end zone with Lavonte David right there for Tampa Bay.
All right, that was from Monday Night Football. Before that was a little taste, if you will, which Stiz didn't even mean to play, of Fitzy doing his impression of me. Do you have any more of that? Was that from last night?
No, this was from Friday. I don't have any more. I actually didn't mean to play it. I was waiting to drop it on you at an opportune time, but I did not mean to play it there, but it was this.
Nick Fitzy Arcand here. I don't like it. I don't know about you guys. 617-779.
I remember it sounding better in the postgame show.
You talked it up a lot more.
In the postgame show, it was better. In the Six Rings, I heard it like the last 2 weeks. Or maybe it was...
maybe he was sick or tired.
It could be. That wasn't as good. Like, I thought it was a pretty good impression, but that right there wasn't very good.
My guess is that was later in the show on Friday, and he was running out of gas. Yeah. Fitzy, you know...
That sounded... I don't know who that sounded like. That didn't sound like me, did it?
Yeah, now you're Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, that was a little more like Patrick Mahomes or like Kermit the Frog maybe a little bit, yeah.
Are you offended?
A little bit, yeah. You're going to do an impression of me. I want you to bring it every
like
single
it.
Time.
I don't know if you guys do. Nick Fitzy Arcand here. I don't like it. I don't know about you guys. 617-779.
I don't know what that sounds like, but that was not. That's so when I do my Fitzy impression, as I've told you before, and I'm not even going to do it now because it's so bad, but it sounds like Dennis Miller. That old Fitzy impression, the one that I heard of me, it sounded like me. And I thought that, and I wouldn't say that unless I thought it. That didn't sound like
that. That actually kind of sounded like Buffalo Bill.
A little bit like Buffalo Bill, yeah.
Who the hell is Buffalo Bill?
The guy who tucks his wiener and dances around in Silence of the Lambs?
No.
You never seen Silence of the Lambs?
I don't think so.
You never seen that movie?
No.
Oh, it's a great movie.
You've never seen Silence of the Lambs?
I just said no. How many times do I have to say no?
So wait a minute. Are you telling me that you've never seen Silence of the Lambs?
Jesus. A lot of movies I haven't seen.
It's a good movie. It's disturbing. Not just that.
It's when classic.
When she walks past the prison cell and the guy throws the stuff on her.
That's a sequel. I believe that's Hannibal.
Ah, I think I saw Hannibal.
Okay. Yeah. There's a pit of pigs out by the barn or something.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen that one, but I have seen
You haven't
Silence
seen
of the Lambs.
Hannibal?
I
Wait
haven't
a minute.
Seen Hannibal. Unbelievable.
You
but
telling
there you
me.
Go. Monday Night Football.
Why do people call me a dink?
Chiefs win again. Who's calling you a dink? Who would dare?
207JR on Twitch chat.
Okay.
Screw you. You're a dink.
Oh, for not knowing Silence of the Lambs.
I hate elitists.
Hmm.
That's an elitist comment. I hate movie elitists, golf elitists, gambling elitists, all you elitists. Like when you sit down at a blackjack table and like they get so mad because you don't know what you're doing, you screw it up for everybody else. Screw you, go to a different table. I have just as much right to lose my money here as you.
Sure, and they have a right to make fun of you for not knowing how to play.
So go to a different table. They get all dinky. Same with golf. People that I don't have the right clothes on. You hit the ball right. No, you're a dink. I paid my freaking fees. I'm going to play golf.
Well, you got to wear certain kind of clothes. There's dress codes.
I hate elitists. Music elitists. Stiz is a music elitist. He annoys me.
Stiz is a music elitist?
Yeah. He used to hate country music, and then Post Malone gets involved, and he's like, oh, that's a banger or whatever.
Whiskey Lullaby, my new jam.
Now you like more country music.
That's right. I do.
So you've changed. So you've realized it's good because you put your nose down, get it out of the air, and just listened.
I guess you could describe it that way, yes?
I choose to. Sorry. Proceed.
I'm trying to think of some counter to this, but I can't really think of anything you're an elitist about.
I'm not.
Except for, like, how Patriots fans should think and act all the time. You're a little bit elitist about that. Like, don't have a right to be mad about this. You have to be happy about that, like you
said. Well, Belichick's last game, he was all up in arms at the attendance.
Compensatory picks in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
That might have been
a little elitist about
but the
there.
Belichick's game. I was really you people pissed me off. That
oh,
day.
You are all
you knew
up
it
in
was
arms.
The last game for Bill Belichick, and you people didn't show up.
Well, it was bad weather. You know?
That's an embarrassment.
I was there.
That is an embarrassment.
I was up there you in the suite, and I was mad because I lost the bet. I had a bet that no one was going to score a touchdown
elitist
the whole game.
In the
Excuse
suite.
Me. Rewind.
That's right. I was in the suite.
Elitist.
Yeah. Well, I was there, wasn't I?
In a suite doesn't count.
Of course it counts.
You're
I was
not
at
a
the
true
game.
Fan
I
sitting
was
in the
at
snow.
The game. No one was sitting out in the snow. No one was out there in the snow. And that's fine. You weren't in the snow either. And that's the point, is that at least I showed up. I showed up because I cared it was Belichick. I asked if there was any room in the suite, and they said, yeah, there's room in the suite. Come on up and sit there. And that's what I did. I want to sit outside. It was crap weather. It was like an ice storm that day.
It wasn't nice.
Yeah, I wasn't going to sit
but
out there
for that.
But it was
the great you people
team that sucks.
Tell me it's the GOAT coach.
Depressing-ass game. It was a bad send-off for a game. I kind of wish I didn't go to that game, honestly. I wish I didn't go to that game. That was Belichick's probably last game ever. He's the greatest coach of all time. That game was depressing. There
was
no joy in that game.
Nope.
They didn't do anything for him. They barely even got him on the big Jumbotron camera at any point. It was like the time was expiring. They didn't do a little video. They didn't do anything. It was just, that's it. Here it is. Bye, Bill. See you later. We know he's probably not coming back, and they knew that. They knew for sure he wasn't coming back, and they didn't do anything, and they lost the game, and they didn't score. I hated that game. I wish I didn't go to that game.
No, but you're a good fan. You did. You want to see history.
Yeah, but
you
I
wanted to acknowledge the history that was leaving.
I wish I hadn't.
Dismal day, dismal game, dismal result, whatever. At least you acknowledged history.
Yeah, I suppose.
Most of you people didn't.
There
were like 30,000 people there.
Yeah, I don't even think there was that many.
Okay, maybe not even that many.
I think there was less than that. Why does the NFL suck right now, Andy?
I believe that the NFL sucks because very few teams, if any, have the double dip of great coach, great quarterback. I think this league has become more and more dominated by coaches and quarterbacks. It's always been that way, but more and more dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of young coaches. You have a lot who I don't believe necessarily all of them are prepared to do their jobs. You have a lot of young quarterbacks that I don't necessarily believe all of them are prepared to do their jobs. And by extension, the rest of sort of the gameplay peters out. I actually wanted to look real quick and just look at it, just a sampling of maybe the AFC. Good, like really good quarterback, really good coach. Buffalo, no. Jets, no. Dolphins, maybe. Patriots, no. Steelers, is that a maybe? Steelers have a really good quarterback and a really good coach. I think we have to acknowledge the coach.
They have a very good coach. I don't think they have a very good quarterback.
Okay, so no.
At all. Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens, really good quarterback, really good coach.
Both, yes.
Damnedest thing. They're one of the best teams in football.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Good quarterback, not great coach.
Agreed.
Yep.
Cleveland Browns, no.
Neither
Houston
one.
Texans?
Well, Stefanski's been coach of the year twice, right?
I don't care.
So, I mean,
he stinks.
Okay, I kind
and
of
And they
agree,
don't have a quarterback.
He's considered
so it doesn't
a good
matter.
Coach. It doesn't matter.
They don't have both.
Mm-hmm.
Houston Texans.
I'd say yes to both. I think the Texans have a good coach and a good quarterback.
Too soon. Too soon to tell.
Too soon on the coach or the quarterback?
Both.
Okay.
Like I would
Stroud's
use,
not as good this year.
I would use my Nick Sirianni example.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles thought they had a really good quarterback and a really good coach, and now I'm not sure if they believe in either. But Indianapolis, no. Tennessee, no. Jacksonville, no. Kansas City, yes. Damnedest thing, they're undefeated.
Yep.
They have a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame coach, and they're the best
that?
Team in football. Chargers?
Yes.
I think we want to say yes.
I'd say yes. Harbaugh and Herbert, I'd say both yes, and I'd say that that's an example of that that may be the exception.
But the asterisk to it is they just got together. They've been together a total of 8 games.
Okay, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yep,
they're
sure.
in their infancy. Denver?
No. I don't think Bo Nix is great. I think Peyton's good, not great.
I'm not sure Peyton's great. He
maybe
might be
not.
The most overrated coach of this generation.
Sure, but he's doing okay with that team right now.
And Las Vegas Raiders? No.
Definitely
so,
no.
And then, so what we proved here is if you have one, Pittsburgh, you have one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're doing? Leading your division.
Yep.
Buffalo, you have one of the two. You know what you're doing? Leading your division. Houston, we think they might be in that category. We're just not ready to anoint them.
I think
yet.
They have two of the two, but sure, yeah.
Right? So they're leading their, like, it seems pretty simple to me. If you have a good quarterback and a good coach, you're going to be a good team. If you have a great quarterback, great coach, you're going to be a great team. If you have great of one or the other, you might be a great team. Right? Like, it's...
Well, the Patriots, you think, have a great quarterback, don't you?
Yeah, but that's not fair. 3 1/4 games in?
Sure, but they're not, and he hasn't played, he's only played in 3 of them, but yeah, that's true.
And I would also
but
argue...
even when he does play, I don't think they're a great team.
But I would also argue...
Or even a good team.
There's exceptions to sort of my rule. I think if you had taken Tom Brady and given him maybe the worst roster in football...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure he could have lifted that all that far.
Listen,
right?
2019, they got bounced in the first round at home by the Titans.
And they still had talent. Yeah. They weren't anything like this.
And then Brady goes to Tampa Bay the year after that, is surrounded by much better talent and wins the Super Bowl.
Right.
You tell me if that matters. Of course it matters.
So talent still matters. You can't, we've always talked about it, or I talk about it, and I think you've acknowledged one of the ways talent-wise to be really good is either top five quarterback or top five roster.
Right.
One or the other. The Patriots right now, you can't say he's a top five quarterback. I don't care how much you like him. Whether he's Ben Roethlisberger, Herbert Plus, whatever you want to call him, Josh Allen 2.0, he's not that yet. And their roster is definitely bottom five. Definitely bottom five.
Yeah, it might be bottom one.
So why is the league bad? Because you're a league that's lacking coaches and quarterbacks. And this is a question I've had with other people, podcasts, different things. What's harder to find these days?
I think it's harder to find the quarterback.
I'm not sure anymore. I used to agree with that.
And I think a good team can make a coach better look better than he is.
Yeah, I'm just, you see coaches and the way they handle themselves and some of the things they do, mm-hmm. and all parts of the job, like Gerard Mayo off the field has kind of been a disaster. Brian Callahan, what the F are you doing?
Yep.
And kind of that whole, the way he handled Will Levis.
Yeah.
These guys get fast-tracked. They're younger. They're probably a little too comfortable speaking and being honest and, I don't even know, social media.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I don't even know what's going on in Las Vegas. They just canned their entire offensive staff, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we don't really have a plan yet. Well, I'll let you know what that's going to like.
We don't have a quarterback. We don't have any offensive coaches.
Right.
Like, we don't have anything.
Good
luck, guys.
These are disasters.
They're probably tanking. Vegas is probably tanking at this point.
They should have traded Crosby then.
Yeah, that's true. I'd take him right
Patriots
now.
Patriots should have taken him.
He's awesome.
Well, they said they weren't going to. I think he wanted to get traded, but they said they weren't going to do it. Either way, seems like they're, even when he's playing, they're pretty much tanking anyway. They have no offense. They have nothing. They have no quarterback, and they traded their only good receiver other than Jacoby Myers. They're a two-win team just like you, and they're going to be down there dumpster diving just like you are. In fact, one-third of the league, basically, is stuck on two wins. It's nine teams right now. It's a little less than a third, but still close. Are two-win teams. Nine teams out there only have two wins. And if you think that's bad, there is also this. There are 15 teams in the league under 500 right now. That's half the league is under 500.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. 18 teams, that's more than half, are 500 or worse. This is kind of wild. Like, I mean, when you look up and down, I know you just did the AFC here. There's teams that have better rosters than this. Like, I look at it and I think, man, the Jets shouldn't be in this position. They shouldn't be a two-win team. I don't think the Jaguars should be a two-win team. I don't think that the Saints should be a two-win team. Like, there's teams out there that I think should be better than this, and they're just not. And whether they had got off to slow starts or whether they have injuries or any sort of other factors that may come into play here, it does sort of point to a down season overall for the NFL. And what's most upsetting about that to me is that you're still the worst of that group. Like, this is one of the easier times there is to make the playoffs in the NFL. There's the extra postseason slot. And you not only are nowhere near the contention for that, in a year where everybody kind of sucked, where half the league is 500 or worse, you're the worst team.
And the other aspect of it, looking league-wide, that kind of hit me as I'm looking at the conferences and the divisions and the records, how many teams are overachieving? I would say the Pittsburgh Steelers are good,
I would say they are. Yeah,
the
Steelers are overachieving. I'd say
Arizona Cardinals.
Cardinals are overachieving. But they're only 5-4.
I mean, the Lions got to be overachieving, right?
See, I don't think so. I think a lot of people thought the Lions were a Super Bowl contender.
Okay, fair. Yeah, they were kind of a sexy pick.
So,
Commanders are overachieving.
Commanders are overachieving. Mm-hmm. I think the Vikings are overachieving.
Yeah, I'd say they are, too.
But it feels like you can only come up with maybe 4 or 5 overachievers and more underachievers.
Yeah, no, most
the Jets are an underachiever. The Dolphins are an underachiever. The Bengals are an underachiever. The Browns are an underachiever. Like, right off the bat, that's 4 teams.
Jags
are
big time underachieving.
Jags, 5.
Yeah.
Cowboys.
Like, yep. It's much easier to come up with underachievers, teams that aren't living up to their perceptions,
Niners,
or their talent.
Yeah.
And some of it, injuries are involved. Like, if you really kind of zoomed in on these teams, what specific things happened, Tua in Miami. But I don't really, like, you're allowed to win games without your quarterback, right? Like, you're allowed to, I know these are extreme examples, but Brady is suspended, right? Didn't they go 3-1 during the suspension?
They did.
Like, that's okay. You had a good coach. You had a pretty good roster. Mike McDaniel, you're a McGenius,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
You still had Tyreek Hill. You still had Jalen Waddle.
Mm-hmm.
you're allowed to win games without your quarterback or through adversity or through injuries.
Dolphins are a two-win team just like you.
I just think there's a lot of underachievement going on in the NFL this year.
I'd agree. By the way, a texter in the 207 says Andy is a fullback elitist. That is a fact.
A little bit.
I would agree with that. So
I love fullbacks.
You rage against the elitist. You're a fullback elitist.
Not really, though. The one that was really right on here, coffee snobs are the worst. The worst.
Yeah, I don't drink coffee. You know, I never drink this stuff.
You've never had it?
I've had it before in my life, but I don't drink it.
Because the drugs are good enough.
It's true. I mean, you know, you got a
straight
good thing
Coke
going.
Every just, morning. Who needs coffee?
Go ahead and stick with it. But no,
He's growing mushrooms in his backyard. Isn't
that's right.
Hey,
coffee.
Yeah. What do you need coffee for? I love coffee ice cream. I hate actual coffee.
That is bizarre.
I think coffee's gross.
Wow.
I just think it tastes gross. I've never been a fan of it. I don't know why. My whole family drinks it like they would die if they didn't.
I can't even. Sometimes I think about how much money I spend on Dunkin' Donuts each month, year, you know, added up.
Why don't you make it at home?
It's not the same. I don't care what anyone says.
Speaking of coffee snobs.
It is not
the same.
I almost want to, like, put a video out there and ask people to help me. You know, I'll try. If someone can tell me the best way to make coffee at home to where it tastes similar to Dunk's or a Starbucks, but I haven't found it yet.
They use those,
French presses?
Yeah, those things.
Yeah.
That's the snobby elitist
I have
people.
One, but it's still, especially, like, iced coffee. You know, like hot coffee is one thing, but I drink iced coffee year round.
So ice it. It's a way of life. Freeze the ice cube, freeze the coffee, make the ice cubes, do the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No thanks.
See, he's a snob for music and coffee, we just found out.
I'm a coffee snob in that I don't drink the coffee. I'm a snob about not drinking it, I guess.
But you're probably a liquor snob.
Not really.
No?
I was going to say beer snobs are pretty annoying.
Yeah, beer snobs annoy me. I'm a light beer guy.
That bubble has burst, though. Like a few years ago, there was that whole craft beer and, I drive out to Treehouse and I drive to New Hampshire to get this. That's like Keith and Fitzy and
Keith
the
and Fitzy, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know where I drive to? Any package store in America and I get Miller Lite and it's awesome.
America.
Yeah. Hashtag. Vote Andy Hart. And then get a Hulk Hogan six-pack while you're there. Yeah.
These 24-inch pythons, brother.
These colors don't run. 617-779-7937. We'll wrap things up next with Odds and Ends.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Another tremendous photo on Twitch, Arcand.
Oh, boy. What do we have here? Hold on a second. Is that me as Tim Walz?
Yes. You're an old ball coach.
That might be my favorite one.
That might be the best one.
That one's pretty good. The Tim Walz one's better than the Biden one. The Biden one, like, my face is facing the wrong way, but, like, that one's pretty good. You as Steve Kornacki is also pretty good.
See? We are fair and balanced coverage here on WEEI.
Yeah.
You texter.
Man, that looks like a glimpse into the future, doesn't it? Is that what I'm going to look like as an old man? Probably. I don't think I'll look that good.
Balding in your family?
No. My grandfather, yes. Not my father. Still got his hair.
I think it's your mother's father.
Mother's father? Then yeah, I'm going bald. So far I'm holding on.
Yeah.
I'm 42. I still got most of my hair.
It could go in a hurry.
It could
fall off a cliff like Brady.
Once the enemy goes past this perimeter, you will no longer be George, or whatever his name is. Anyways, it is time now for Odds and Ends, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. If you watched Monday Night Football last night, you saw Jason Kelce, and he was part of a big brouhaha over the weekend. On Saturday, he was at the Penn State game, and some kid came up to him and was harassing him and calling his brother all sorts of names and getting right up on him with the camera out and everything. And Kelce turned around, grabbed the kid's phone, Gronk spiked it right on the ground there, and got right in his face. It was pretty, it was a lot. Like, Jason Kelce seems like a pretty fun-loving guy. It doesn't seem like someone that, anybody would want to mess with like that to begin with.
Maybe the last guy on earth you'd want to pick
Or two that would, even if you did try and antagonize him, that he'd react like that. But he reacted.
Quick detail.
He went right at him.
Was walking through the parking lot, like in boots and the Jason Kelce look.
Right.
Carrying a 12-pack with one in his hand.
Right.
Also a part here, like if I see Jason Kelce and think, he's been drinking, I'm not looking to antagonize him.
No, I'm not.
Or any large man.
Yeah, so that all happened. The police now in Happy Valley, I guess, was in Happy Valley. That was a Penn State home game?
Yeah, whiteout.
Okay, so they're investigating this, since it was on camera, and he did grab the guy's phone and spike it. And I think they're investigating it for, like, criminal mischief or something along those lines. Anyway, Jason Kelce went on Monday Night Football, as he always does, and he said this about that whole incident.
you know, listen, I think everybody's seen on social media everything that took place this week. That's what I'm. Listen, I'm not happy with anything that took place. I'm not proud of it. And, you know, in a heated moment, I chose to greet hate with hate. And I just don't think that that's a productive thing. I really don't. I don't think that, you know, it leads to discourse and it's the right way to go about things. And in that moment, I fell down to a level that I shouldn't have. So I think the bottom line is, you know, I want to live my life. I try to live my life by the golden rule. That's what I've always been taught. I try to treat people with common decency and respect, and I'm going to keep doing that moving forward.
Did Jason Kelce do anything wrong?
Well,
no.
The word he used, I would have just apologized for the word I should not have used. Other than that, I'm fine with everything.
He was repeating what the guy was saying.
If the guy had said any other word
about his brother, but yeah, he did say it.
You didn't have to say that.
He did repeat it.
Do I think it's a big deal? Because I'm a big believer, like, if we're at war, we're at war. Like, I'm doing, you know, I'm going to play the game as it's being played. Right. Other than that, my biggest issue in this world is everybody thinks they can poke people's buttons without repercussions, without
social
getting
media.
Popped. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, I'm going to film you, see how you react, push you.
Strictly social media.
And now you're going to get in trouble because you smashed my phone. Like, to me, I just don't understand, like, this idea that you can just so brazenly go up to people
and say whatever you want.
Antagonize them. And apparently, you may know this more than I do, Stiz. I've read sort of on Twitter, there's like social media influencers that this is all they do. Like,
oh,
this
my
is their
Lord.
Shtick.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you've seen the prank videos we all have where, like,
prank,
some random guy is in,
like,
Home Depot and then they, like, throw something at him and they're like, oh, it's just a prank.
Right.
Like, this is, like, not cool. And, you know, the word that we were talking about with incidents over the past few weeks, entitlement.
Absolutely.
Where these kids think that they can just do whatever they want and that there's no repercussions.
And then you mix in, it's a family member. He's calling out your brother.
Calling him a gay slur.
I think it's always dangerous to go the family route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a wife or a daughter, so it's like one layer removed, but you're crossing a line. You're talking about family. And I will add in that you saw the guy carrying a 12-pack in a beer. Like,
yeah,
you clearly were looking for what you got. And now what? He should go to jail because he gave you what you wanted? Like, I think he did.
I don't think he's doing time for spiking the guy's phone.
No, I know.
No, he might have to pay some money, though.
Maybe.
And he shouldn't. The other guy should pay money. The other guy should be fined. And I'm glad it doesn't appear, because my first thought was,
sticks and stones, Sandy.
I know.
Right?
That's easy to say.
It is.
That's much easier to say
than it's not something
acts.
I go by. But I'm not Jason Kelce with a job on Monday Night Football, you know? Like,
but I will say I'm glad about that.
Also, why is he walking around by himself? Is he, like, bodyguard status? Does he have a bodyguard?
He had a guy that was kind of with him, but he was, like, much smaller than him.
Doesn't that guy
It'd be
say,
like if
hey,
I was the bodyguard
right?
For
Doesn't
Kelce.
That guy jump in front and say, hey, get the bleep out of here before you get hurt?
I mean, it happened kind of quick. I don't know. I was glad because it's...
That guy's phone was smashed, though.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
Because it's Disney and ESPN, smashed. Like, that world, and they can be super sensitive, I thought he might be in trouble. If anything, I'm guessing this may have helped his sort of Q rating as a podcaster, and I think with a big chunk of the country, he's probably more popular now than he was before.
I'd agree. I don't think there's anybody out there who is really bothered by what he did, except for that guy whose phone got smashed. I think everybody else is on Kelce's side, basically. He does have that kind of aura, more
he's
so
likeable.
Than his brother. He's a more likable guy than his brother.
Oh, way more like. I don't like his brother.
Yeah.
His brother's kind of a dink.
I don't say that
don't
say
Jason
in front of
room,
yeah.
But I think Travis is kind of a dink. Jason just seems like an everyman. And I know he plays that up like, I'm going to take my shirt off and drink beer.
Right.
And where's that? The Bills game or something.
Yeah.
He was climbing out. And that's fine. But I also think it's true. I also think he's a center. He was an undersized center who became popular and famous and great. You know, kind of worked his way. He's probably closer to a hockey player than he is like an NFL tight end wide receiver.
And I mean, listen, like if you're talking about which one of the Kelce brothers I'd rather not mess with, it's definitely him. You know, he's pushing around defensive tackles and DNs.
See, this is the problem.
That's the guy I'd rather. You want to start something with Travis, he'll kick your ass too. But I feel like Jason would end
your
Travis
life. Travis would probably have security because he and Taylor and the whole
thing. He's a bigger star.
Bigger star. 315. Are you actually kidding? He took the kid's phone and threw it on the ground. That's criminal, not to mention a bad example. No, the bad example is the kid.
Yeah.
The you
kid's
are
the
part
bad example.
315, you're part of the problem.
That kid's lucky he didn't get his orbital bone.
You
smashed,
are why we are raising a generation of people that are entitled and feel like they can do this crap without repercussions, and the bad guy is the guy who defended himself. his family, and called your bluff. You poked him, and he poked back, so get the hell out of here.
And the first thing the kid said was he looked at his buddy. He goes, you got that on camera, right?
Because exactly.
You know he's thinking lawsuit. All here we go.
And they're all like this. Like, remember the kid at the Cam Newton camp, the kid that kept poking him, and he got fired back? Mm-hmm. Didn't get physical, but like.
He's like, you're a free agent or whatever.
These kids all want to do this.
Or when those four guys jumped Cam Newton, and he beat them all up.
Yeah.
Like, that was the best video I've ever seen, by the way. That video was amazing. He kept his backpack on the whole time. If you're going to jump Cam Newton, take your backpack off.
Yeah, I do like the 207. That kid should be charged with harassment. That's right.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Leave Jason Kelce alone.
There you go. That is all the time we have here today. Tomorrow we may have a new president, Andy. How about that?
I doubt it.
I doubt we're going to know this tomorrow, but maybe we will. Anyways, we'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Stick around. John Lyons and Chris Scheim. They'll be getting all your early returns from all the swings. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.